That's good, Rick. Amen. I wished it had been green sleeves, but kind of feel a little bit like Davy Crockett this morning. But anyway, well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. As Paul Harvey says, for the rest of the story, I guess there's nothing that I've enjoyed doing probably more than I have working with many of you parents on training up your children and the task of trying to work in the elementary division to get that area, you know, up to speed as far as what we're trying to accomplish overall. As I explained to you when we started many months ago, that, you know, with all of the things of our church, when we kind of took a different direction in philosophy of ministry, so many different things we had to work on, and so many, what a monumental task it was to begin to try to pull together and functionally get the body of this church to understand in a worldwide concept, not only missions, but yet understanding their own home front here of work that needs to be done. And, you know, I want to say I appreciate, you know, this church is probably, in my own heart, my own mind, this church is probably, you people are the greatest people in the whole wide world. I love you a lot and appreciate you. And I appreciate, you know, just like whatever we try to do, whether it be around the world or whether it be in our own home here, with our children or with missionaries, whatever the case may be. All you got to do is just say a need and 100 people come up to answer that need. And I appreciate it. It just amazes me how that you folks just continually be used of the Lord. And I say that to your credit. I mean, I remember one time I had a need and I said, I need a guy with a pickup truck. I had 57. I didn't know there was that many pickup trucks in this church. I think people went out and bought pickup trucks just so they could do something. And you laugh at that, and that's funny and cute, but that's the attitude of our people in our church, and I appreciate that. That is something that needs to be guarded well, because it's a virtue, and I say that to your good. And I've enjoyed dealing in the elementary division. I've enjoyed working with the men and the women that are there. I see people who are totally committed to your kids and have given their lives. Is to predict where he's going to come up and hit him on the head with the hammer you got. Therefore, amassing points. If you beat the Gophers, you get a free game. And there you stand, modern 20th century modern man, educated, PhD, doctorate degree, BAMA, and all that other stuff, with a club in your hand, with make-believe Gophers sticking up their head, and you there with all of the strength and courage of a real man beating those suckers down into that machine. And you've never seen anything more ridiculous in all your life than somebody getting frustrated because the Gophers are not popping up where you'd like to hit them. I even saw one lady whose husband was standing by her laughing at her turn on her husband. Since that time, they have shortened the cords between the club and the machine and drawn double yellow lines that no spectators can pass beyond this point, because this video game can be hazardous to your health. But I watched them there as they whap, whap, bap, boop, and just go crazy, man. And in the midst of all that movement, they're trying to perceive where the next gopher is going to come up. And it's a matter of coordination, eyesight, hand dexterity, and just being overall nuts. Yet I've watched that game many, many times, and I thought to myself, that's exactly what life is like in the ministry. That's exactly what life is like in Christianity. That's exactly what it's like being a Christian and being involved in ministry and giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because those life is like those gophers. And there's so many areas we need to hit on. There's so many things we need to target. There's never a time that we can just stand back and let the gophers stick their heads up and not pound on them. There's too many areas in this church that are vital. There's too many things that God has entrusted to us that are eternal things, that if we let down on them, people die and go to hell. That if we do not carry it out, there's eternal consequences. It isn't 50 cents in a machine where make-believe gophers come up. No, no, if we fail, if we fall, if we don't carry through, if we don't see this thing in its entirety, if we don't hit every gopher as cleanly and hard as we can, people die and go to hell. Men and women are lost. Opportunities are gone. And we need to realize that as a church, we have a heritage. Not only a past, not only a brave past of men and women who have believed the Bible as the Word of God, who stood for truth and died for those endeavors in their life, but a heritage that goes on in the future. The future of our church is not in any ministry that we have. You must understand this morning. Our future as a church is not in our missions program. It's not in our shepherd school. It's not in our discipleship trips. It's not in any ministry that we have other than raising up our own children and doing it unto the Lord right because they are our heritage. And we could reach out and touch the world and this church would cease to exist in 10 years if we do not look and see where our heritage lies. It's with our children. Last week I talked to you very aptly about brainwashing your children out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, showing you very clearly and plainly that if you don't brainwash them, the world will. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says this. He says, "Hear, O Israel," verse 4, "the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate." Very clearly, as I said last week, absolutely putting the Word of God in front of your children all the time. Making everything they see line up with the Word of God. Giving them a house and a life and a family and a church that are filled with the things of God. Now, when you study your life and my life as Christians, and you look at the family and the church, you find, and I've said this many, many times, some tremendous parallels between the nation of Israel and the body of Christ. That's why many of these principles, Deuteronomy chapter 6, for instance, wasn't directly written to you. It was written to the nation of Israel. But because there's so many similarities, because there are so many parallels in a spiritual, practical sense that fits right into your life and raising your kid. What was good for them is also good for you and for me. But there's a tragedy in the nation of Israel. And there's a tragedy that in time destroyed the nation of Israel. It's a tragedy that you see that's incredible. Because he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want you to come on with me now down around verse 20. Because the end of the story, it runs like this. Now there's a reason why he told the leaders of the nation of Israel to keep the Word of God before their children's eyes. There is a reason why he told the leaders of Israel to make sure that the Word of God, the statutes of God, become as frontlets. They become everything in your house, on the gate, when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk, in the way, and keep those before your children. There's a reason for that. And the reason's found in verse 20. "And when thy son askest thee in time to come," you see, it may not happen today. You don't always see the value and the benefit of doing it consistently like I taught you on Thursday night. Right now, you don't always see the value and the benefit of really just taking your life and in the Word of God and making it in front of every kid's eye. But I'm telling you, it's going to pay off in time because the Bible says, "And when thy son askest thee in time to come, saying," what mean the testimonies and the statutes? and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you. There's a time in that young child's life that he's going to ask why. There's a time in his life that because he has seen what God is doing in your life, there's a time that your child, when he sees what goes on in this church, when he keeps seeing men and women being sent out to start churches, when he keeps seeing this giving attitude of this church for missions, for ministry, and then he feels the impact because men and women in this church are not only just concerned about people around the world, but concerned about boys and girls in our own church today. That influence, they're constantly bombarding their little minds, their little hearts, their little souls with the things of God. Every place they go, everything they see, in time, it'll come. That kid will say, what meaneth the things that this church stands for? The Bible says, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all this household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. And it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. What a contradictive statement to the world system today that wants to brainwash your child. What an extreme opposite set of the universe. Of a set of concepts that the Bible says that your child needs to know compared to what the world says it needs to know. And there's coming a time that your child is going to look in your family. He may not do it audibly. He may do it within, but in time it'll come out and manifest itself. He'll do it in this church. He'll come and he'll stop. She'll come and she'll stop. And she will look at your life. She will look at your family. She will look at your commitment to this ministry. She will look at this ministry. She will look at me. She will look at what we do. He will look at what we do. And they will ask, what does all this mean? And at that point, you stand at the pivotal point in a young man or a young lady's life, your child, to launch them to heaven or to hell because of what they've seen. And we must realize that Israel failed to do that. Israel failed to do that. They did not bring about. They did not leave a legacy of a heritage of what happened. They did not leave a scorecard of the great miracles of God. As they wandered for 40 years, they murmured. They complained. They griped. They wanted to stone Moses. And they went from trial to trial, problem to problem, griping all the way. And when they go into the promised land, when the little children that are allowed to go in finally go in, you find God has to again do the great miracles. He has to again do signs in the heavens. He again has to stop their son and do all the things and split the rivers and do all those miracles. Why? Because the nation of Israel never left their children a legacy of the power of God or what he'd done in their lives. Children are our heritage. Children are our heritage. You and I, in this church, we must realize and understand that children are a heritage given to us by God, that we have a hand in their lives like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. We direct where they go in life. And it's the job not only of every parent, that's where it starts. It starts with you, mom and dad, laying the foundation and seeing your child. I mean, you must realize that in all the people you meet in life, you must understand that in all the people that you meet in life, of all the people that you influence for the cause of Christ, you have no one in your life like you have your own children. I thank God for the young men and the young ladies that I've seen saved in my life since I've been saved. I thank God for the young men that have went through the ministry, that I've had an opportunity to put into their life and to get them someplace where they could do something for God. I thank God for that. That means a lot to me. I appreciate being used of the Lord. I appreciate God's hand on my life. I don't know why I don't deserve it, but I appreciate God using me to touch the lives of somebody else. I can't ever think of a time in my life when I wasn't winning people to Christ somehow. God just brings them into my life, lets me meet them, lets me talk to them. But I want to tell you something. When I stand back and look at my life, when I stand back and look at my ministry, when I see every young man, every young lady I sent out, if I could recall in front of my face and across that screen up there, every name and every picture and every face of every man, every woman, every child that I ever won to Christ or got saved by my ministry, I want to tell you something. That's all grace. That's all just of God. That is all God just using me in the right place at the right time in their lives. I want to tell you something. There is only two people in this world that I have absolute total control over, that I have guarantees that they'll be everything God wants them to be. I can't say that about any man or woman ever won to Christ. I can't say that about anybody in this room. You know why? Because when I met you, a lot of water had been under the bridge. I had no guarantees with you. I could not sit down with you and say, I promise you, I guarantee you, God will put your marriage back together. I couldn't give you that guarantee. I couldn't guarantee anybody ever that your life will be rosy from this point on and you'll never have another problem. I couldn't guarantee anybody that. I could not guarantee anybody that after they got saved and after they get in life, I couldn't give them any guarantees, because when I met them, their life had already lived probably 10 or 15 years, and they brought in a lot of baggage with them. Only thing I could guarantee them was eternal life. I couldn't guarantee anything else in life. I couldn't guarantee their success. I couldn't guarantee their spouse's success. I couldn't guarantee their families are going to be raised right. I want to tell you something. I thank God for every man and woman I've ever dealt with in my life. But I'm telling you, as a parent, not as a preacher, as a parent, there is only two people in this world that I am absolutely guaranteed to turn them out right. And that's my two kids. I'm the only one that has them from the very day. And those first 5 or 6, 7, 8 years when nobody other influence touches them. And by the time they get to 8, if you ain't got them locked in, then they're locked out. They're the only ones that I have a guarantee on. I believe what the Bible says. I believe with all of my heart that if I do what's right with the Word of God, I believe the Bible works. And I believe as parents, you are given an absolute guarantee that you can raise your kids in the midst of any society, in the midst of any culture, in the midst of anything. If you do what's right in your life with your child and recognize they're a heritage, you have a guarantee they will be everything God wants them to be. And I can't say that about anybody else in my life. Hey, if you turned out good, praise God. But that's because of grace. I can't take responsibility for you. Somebody says, well, what do you think about so-and-so messing up and doing? I feel bad about it. I'm sorry, but I cannot take the responsibility. He has to make his own choices. I didn't mold his character. I didn't mold her life. I wasn't there when nobody else was. I didn't have the ability to put in the right concepts, the right principles. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the place. I wasn't there when they needed to be taught those basic concepts about a relationship with God. I cannot be responsible for how they react when they're 20 or 30 or 35. I'll help them. I'll do what I can. I'll pray for them. I will try to put them on the right road. Many of them get lined out. Praise God. But I don't have any guarantees of that. I don't promise results. I promise truth. I'm not a miracle worker. I produce truth. and the truth in your life will do everything for you you need to have done. And the only two people in this world, ladies and gentlemen, and the only people in your life, and I thank God for the God who use you folks. I get excited when you get people saved. I'm not taking away from that. I'm helping you to see, my friend, what the Bible means when he says children are a heritage. They are your children are the only kids, the only people, the only human beings in life that you as a parent have an absolute guarantee if you do it by the book and by the numbers and do what's right, they'll turn out right. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children are a heritage. We as moms and dads, we need to realize that there's going to come a time when your son or your daughter is going to ask. And they're going to look at your life. They're going to look at this church. And they're going to say, what means all this? What does this mean? Why do they do this? Why do you and mommy not do this? Why do so-and-so's mom and dad go here and you and mom don't? Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we do what we do? There's going to come a time in their little heart and a little mind, and then thou shalt say, we were in Pharaoh's bondage. You say, there was a time, son, we were in the world under bondage as slaves, but Jesus delivered us and gave us the life that we've got today. A child looks at that, looks at you, and looks at your family, looks at this church, and looks and sees what God's done, and because you molded him, because you protected him, because you had a guarantee, because he's your heritage. There ain't no question about the world going to get him. Ain't no question about the world. This balance. That's why we can't ever stop taking the handle and beating the snot out of the gophers. Something will always be sticking its head up that we got to look at. We got to deal with. We've got to balance our lives to the place that we realize that God has given us a tremendous opportunity. And if we reach the world and lose our kids, we failed. I think, and I may say this premature, and I may have to get out of the ministry someday, but I want my children to hear it. I think the greatest despising thing in the ministry is men who portray the Word of God in preaching and pastoring churches and dealing with people when in their own families it's falling apart. And I say that with a girl that's 18 and a girl that's something else down there, 15, it may turn out to be Iranian terrorists tomorrow. I say that to myself as much as I say it to you. Telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that there needs to be something different. We ain't doing ourselves any favor by just going out and reaching the world. And we've had to do that. We've got to balance. We've got to get all the components of our church systematically working together. But now it's time. And just like we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people signing up for mission trips, just like in years gone by, we've had thousands of people that have went on short terms to discipleship trips and go and still go. Now it's time to focus our attention as moms and dads and to finalize this thing and to put the last icing on the cake, so to speak, and to look within this body and say the last loose end we need to tie up is the way we look at our children from our families to our church and begin as a body, everybody, to take the opportunity to minister to those little kids. Because they're our heritage. They're our heritage. It's because of that, I wanted to focus this Christmas on our kids. We can never lose like Israel did. We can never come to the place that the blessings and the miracles and the untold stories of what God is doing in fact, that's what he says down here, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 10. He says in the first 4 through 9, he says, hey man, this is what you're supposed to do. And then the blessings of God come in verse 10. And it shall be, look at this, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers. That's the promised land. That means you're living by the promises of God and you're enjoying the blessings. And to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. That's spiritually speaking, that's the great conquest that God gives us as churches. That's going out and discipling this church, or working with this, and which in time may impact that whole city. I mean, it literally means going into other countries and taking a handful of pastors and just rocking that nation because men grab a glimpse of the Word of God. And verse 11, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and thou shalt have eaten and be full. You know what he's saying? He says when God gives you everything by grace, when God fills up your barns, gives you fill in your houses, gives you stuff to eat, when the spiritual blessings of God, which you absolutely don't deserve and did nothing to get, but because you're standing the Word of God and your truth, God blesses you. Then don't forget. Don't be like Israel. Verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't forget him. Don't forget him, Kansas City Baptist Temple. Don't forget him, Bob Alexander. Don't forget him, Jeff Adams. Don't forget him, Rick Johnson. Don't forget him, Mark McGoy. Don't forget him, Alan Shelby. Don't forget him, Greg Axe. Don't forget him, Shane Crawford. Don't forget him, everybody in this church. We're here with what we have today, with the ministries worldwide and the hundreds and thousands of lives we've influenced because God is good. When you get to the place in your life just like Israel, when you're enjoying all the things that you had nothing to do with to get, it's easy to forget. And Israel forgot. They forgot the great and mighty things that God did. And they didn't tell their kids. And when they sent those kids into that land, it's no wonder they came back and said, wow, them giants out there, man, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And the Bible says they were afraid. You know why they were afraid? You know where courage comes from for the Lord in your kid's life? You know where it comes from? It doesn't come because you buy him a set of barbells or you can press 350 pounds or run 10 miles. You know where courage in your kid's life comes from? It comes from seeing mom and dad stand courageous and God doing things of faith. You know where faith comes from? It doesn't come from a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't come from a little Sunday school lesson. It doesn't come because of David Cook's material on faith. It comes because that child sees mom and dad living a life of faith and giving God the glory for it. Mom and dad is this church, the pastors of this church, never forgetting. Never forgetting. Never forgetting. In the midst of all that we've gotten. Oh, God's been so good to us. God's been so good to us. The churches that we've started, the young men that we've seen, the men that are out preaching, the ministries in this city, the people in this building who will come for ministry training hour, who represent the backbone and the spinal column and the nervous system of this church that is really makes this thing happen. Sometimes I feel like I ought to just scrap everything I do on ministry training hour and preach one message every Sunday. And that message would be, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Your children, my children, they're our heritage as a family. And they make up the heritage of this church. And the leaders tomorrow will only be as strong
as the input we put in their life today. And we must realize that we cannot make the tragic mistake that the nation of Israel made in not giving our children a legacy. Not giving our children an understanding and seeing them as a heritage from the Lord. We can never let the hundreds of ministries that are going on in this church keep us from ministering to the single most important element in this church, and that's our kids. That's why the Bible says over and over again, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. See the white, mighty works of the Lord. Your children and my children need to grow up in this church understanding that God is doing something. Understanding that on a worldwide scale, we're accomplishing to the best of our abilities the Great Commission. And then look down through their own families and see that same mentality of commitment to the things of God in mom and dad's life. And when the time comes in their life that they ask and says, what mean? What meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgment of the Lord our God? What does all this mean, Mom? Dad, what does all this mean? You have the right to say, well, son, it means this. Means that once that your mom and I was under bondage, we were in this old world, and this old world had us in chains. And then we met a man that preached the truth of God, and the truth set us free, and our lives ain't ever been the same since. And that's why, Johnny, that's why, Susie, that's why we do the things that we do. And that's why we discipline you the way we do. That's why we deal with you differently than your kids at school. Because we're saved. We belong to the Lord. And that's why I have to deal with you sometimes when you don't understand and you don't like it. Because you're a heritage, sweetheart. Son, you're God's heritage to me and to our church. And I've got to protect everything about you because someday you may be a deacon in that church. Someday you may be filling a pulpit someplace in that ministry. Someday you may be sitting down, taking an open Bible at that altar and winning someone to Christ. Someday you may be discipling somebody. And I must understand and realize and see you from God's standpoint that you are a gift from God. You, son, you, dear daughter, you are the only person in my life that I have an absolute guarantee that you will turn out perfect for God. If I do my work and see you as God sees you. Oh, parents, what a great legacy that is. What a great heritage. What a great promise. And we as a church must understand and realize what we got to do with our kids. That's why I focused this time of Christmas. I figured it was the greatest time of the year because you spend so much in your kids anyhow that they're always in your focus. Your kids get excited about this time of year. It's a natural time for us to come and say, hey, look, we got some things we need here. To come and draw a line and say, hey, this year we've raised millions of dollars over the last 20 years for missionary projects around this world. Now let's raise some money for our own heritage. And then I'm not going to stop with the money I'm going to get from you today. Because I'm going to tell you something else. I want 100 of you, 200 of you, 300 of you. I want men and women of this church. I want to put such an elementary package together that there's people up in the elementary division that haven't been able to come to church for 5 or 6 years, 10 years. Why? Because nobody wants to come and work. And I want men and women that are going to give of themselves. I want more than your money. I want to take the money you give today and go in and do in the elementary what needs to be done. Buy for our children. Buy, yes, for the two missionary families, but buy for our children what needs to be done. Taking that and adding it to what we already have to make sure that we begin. And then that's not enough. That's the smallest part of it. I need you, every one of you. There ain't any reason why any one of you, no matter who you are, what you do, some of you ladies out there, some of you men, are excellent teachers of the Word of God to young children, and you're not using it. Some of you are school teachers.
Some of you have taught in other churches. You have an ability to communicate. I get reports all the time for parents that come up to me and say, well, so-and-so taught this in my kids' Sunday school class this morning. And what are you doing up there? That's just way over his head. Well, did you ever stop and think that maybe that guy is up there because nobody else wanted to do it and he's just doing the best job he can? If you're so concerned about it, sweetheart, here, sign on the dotted line. Listen to me, folks. There are kids. And in your mind, you may shovel them off to Christian daycare. You may shovel them off to Christian preschool. You may shovel them off to Christian high school. You may shovel them off to Christian college. But at the judgment seat of Christ, none of those teachers are going to give an account for them. You are. Someday this church will stand just like you'll stand. And it will give an account of what we did, not only with the world, not only with the detention homes, not only with the battered women's, not only with the cops ministry, not only with everything in God entrusted with us, but the greatest heritage we have in our legacy, what we did with the children God gave us. Because children, my friend, are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You as a family, us as the church, we'll launch our children in the course of life, because there's going to come a time when they ask, Daddy, Mommy, Preacher, what does all this mean? What is all this about? And we're going to have the right answers. Now, folks, this is probably, without a doubt, the greatest offering we have ever taken. This is probably, without a doubt, more than anything that we've raised in the history of my time here and probably the history of this church, the single most important thing that we've ever done. And I thank God for all the things that God's allowed us to do, but I'm telling you something. If we could do all of that and we lose our kids, we've lost it all. And this morning, as we take up this offering in just a moment, and we dedicate it to our kids and our ministry and what we're going to do, and you bring your kids next week and we begin as a family, and then after that I begin to have you sign up to work with me, and then we hold some training sessions for you to teach you, to put you. I want to make it and work it out where nobody has to do anything all the time, that we have a rotation, that everybody balances it out the way it's supposed to be balanced. Right now, I got good men and women that are up there year after year after year after year who are tired, and yet they're committed. I said it last week. I can't do it by myself. It's going to take us doing it. Yet when I look back over the things this church has done, I remember one time in an earthquake in El Salvador, in 48 hours, we turned a whole team around of 40 people, raised over $500,000 worth of medical supplies and money, and went to El Salvador to relieve earthquake victims in 48 hours. I've seen us take teams into countries where literally we laid a foundation that probably 5 years from now will revolutionize that country spiritually because of what it's doing with the pastors. We're seeing it on every quarter, everything that we do. And the bottom line is, all of that, as far as God's concerned, is great. But if we don't do what's right here and we don't get involved with our own kids, we're wasting our time. Because the Bible says, he that doesn't take care of his own household is worse than an infidel. And this is our household. Ushers, come on forward. Now, I want you to give this morning to our kids. I want you to give because it's the right thing to do. And if you're not a member of this church, you don't have to give a dime. This is not directed to you. This is directed as our family. And I want you to give unto God as God has blessed you, prayerfully, looking and seeking what God wants you to do. Because I'm telling you something, we have got to do what is right with our kids. Ushers, go ahead and pass those.
And then on top of that, you need to be part of the restructuring. You need to help me. I look at some of you men and some of you ladies, and you have so much to offer. You have so much to give. And we need to go in and we need to start and we need to really work at loving those kids, working with those kids, teaching those kids. We need to get a scheduled format down so we're all singing off the same piece of music. And we need to slowly, but surely, methodically turn this thing in the right direction where everything that we're doing across the board in our church falls in the same flow. And I ask you this morning, I ask you more than any dollar amount that we may raise. I ask you personally to pray about in these next 2 weeks, because I'm not going to try to do anything between now and New Year's, because it's too of a hectic a time. We got the carnival this week. I got somewhere up into 15 Christmas parties between all the detention homes and our party and everything else that I've got to do, and there's no way I'm going to get into it. But I'm asking you be involved. You take these next couple of weeks and you pray about it. And any help you can give me this week, I'll tell you what, ladies, I need your help on wrapping. I got so many little kids out there that we got something for. I won't tell you. God is doing something and giving us some tremendous opportunity with these battered women home. We're not looking to go in and preach the gospel to them. We're not looking to go in and beat on their door with a Bible. We're looking to go in and just minister to them by their needs and allow us to earn the right to share the story with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a lot of tremendous needs. Women who have no answers. And there's women in this church. There's women in this church that could get involved with that. There's men in this church. They need things fixed over there. They need carpentry work done. They need things worked out. There's any number of things that we could just go in and say, hey, look, we're only here for one reason. We appreciate what you're trying to do. And we love you and help them. God's given us some tremendous opportunities. And let me just say, I love you a lot. I appreciate you. Appreciate all you do. And you help me this week. Ladies, if you'll come sign up with Debbie to help me wrap presents, man, I got a ton of them. I'll help you there best I can. And we'll just get it done next Sunday. Please, bring your children here. We'll have a great time. I'm really looking forward to coming up and just sitting around with families and talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He means and what He's done for us, and just having a great time together as a family in this church around a time that we hold special in our culture and our society. Thank you for all that you do. You pray, promise me, you'll pray over these next couple of weeks that you'll be involved and you'll do something to look at the heritage of our church and to get involved. We'll train you, we'll teach you, we'll give you everything you need. And if everybody got involved, nobody'd have to feel the burden, and we'd turn this thing right toward the direction we need to turn it to and get it done for the Lord. Let's pray. Father,